Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw, the voice that I love to hear first thing in the morning on the show. Welcome into the clubhouse. You're the best. We're going to have a partly sunny day today. It's going to be breezy. Windward and Mauka, some rain in the morning and some scattered showers in the afternoon. Leeward side, some isolated showers. You know, that always gets me, the scattered showers and the isolated showers. How do I determine between those two? The high today between about 82 to 87. 87. Northeasterly winds are going to save us. They're 15 to 25 miles per hour. And tonight, partly cloudy, scattered showers, windward and Mauka. The low about 67 to 72. And the northerly winds are still with us, 15 to 20 miles per hour. On Hawaii Island, just about the same. The only difference is they're going to have a little less wind. And that's 15 to 20 miles per hour. All right. You want to play a round of golf? Where can I go play? There are lots of tee times. On Hawaii Island, Volcano Golf Club, 832, 924, 1048. Makalei has an 850, a 936, and a 1048. And at Poipu, we have a 940 on Kauai, of course. Poipu Bay, 940, 1040, 12 o'clock. And it's salute to veterans today at Poipu Bay. It's salute to veterans all week and long. And, of course, Memorial Day on Monday. Kauai Lagoons, there's a 10:30 and an 11:42. Pearl Country Club, 8:30, 10:06, 11:30. Turtle Bay, 8:52, 9:48, 11:18. And, you know, this is something I've always wanted to accomplish. The Wind Walkers are on the course today. Jack and Jill, the group's going out today at the Royal Hawaiian Golf Course, and that's 8:38 if you want to get on the course, 9:20, 10:52. Maui, Kahili, there's an 11:40, 11:50, and a 12:20. Wailea Gold Course, there's a corporate event. The Data Brick is out. But if you'd like to play a round of golf, there is a tee time at 10:50 on the Gold Course, 11:30, 11:40. Emerald has they're playing 100 holes of golf on the Emerald Course today. Wow. So they're having a lot of fun. I don't know. I couldn't. Boy, 100 holes of golf. How tired do you get after 50? And then we've got the Blue Course. There's an 8:52, a 9:30, and a 10:15. And gosh, may you all hit the sweet spot every time, including the folks who go out and they call themselves the Lost Cause. I've got a great show for you today. Anthony Pioppi, author, writer, executive director, the Seth Rayner Society is going to be on the show. Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike on Golf and Travel. He's got some interesting peeks into some of the new things that are coming out, that is, like in golf equipment. Pate Clarkson, sports information director, Troon, Hawaii. We've got some really cool things to talk about. Pearl at Kalaau'au. That is Pearl Country Club. Now it's Pearl at Kalaau'au. And Mark Rolfing is going to kick it off. Golf Channel, NBC Sports Golf Commentator, Analyst. Yes, he's with us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports Golf Commentator and Analyst. And he's at the Senior PGA Championship, the PGA of America's Senior PGA Championship on the Congressional Blue Course. $3,500,000 purse. And when I went to sleep last night, three were tied for the lead at 6 under. Wai Yang, Vijay Singh, and Cameron Percy. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. And I will tell you, they're all going to be wind walkers today because in our nation's capital, it is blowing 30 miles an hour right about now.
Wow. That's, wow. Swing easy when it's breezy. I don't know. What do you do when it's going to be windy like that?
Well, that's an overused cliche, I think, but it's actually true. The thing about it that people forget is the harder you try to hit the ball, the harder you swing, the more spin you're going to put on the ball. And the more spin you put on the ball, the more the wind is going to affect it. Uh-huh. So you want to try to take spin off your shots. That means take more club, and just swing easy and try to keep the spin off it, and you'll do a lot better.
Oh, fantastic. You just saved a lot of people's lives today because it's going to be breezy. I love what Vijay Singh said. From three over through three to finishing tied for first today, just hung in there, and I was able to get a solid back nine. We have plenty of golf left at the Senior PGA Championship, and he goes, let's keep building.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard golf course this afternoon, I'll tell you. And, you know, right now, 6-under leading. I'm not sure anybody will still be at 6-under by the end of the day, to be honest.
Yeah, and I'm looking at all the names that are, you know, Ernie Els, David Duval, Lee Westwood, Retief Goosen, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Justin Leonard, Patrick Harrington. They're all, you know, players. And this is going to be great to watch today.
Yeah, it really is going to be great to watch. And when you take a look at this whole Champions Tour golf scene, right now we're starting to get close to Tiger Woods turning 50. Of course, he's got the Achilles heel problem now. But the big question that's actually going around here this week in Washington is Tiger going to play? Because the rumor has been that he is going to try to play some senior golf. And if he does, that'll be the shot of enthusiasm that this tour really needs right about now.
Yeah, it would be fabulous. And yet I say to myself, what is it about Tiger? Does he work too hard on his body that he is injured, or the Achilles, and then there's the knees, and then there's, it just seems to be always something that's coming up for him physically.
Well, if you take a look at all the great old time players kind of back in my era, you look at Arnold Palmer's record in the Masters, or Jack Nicklaus's. These guys played in 50 consecutive Masters or 36 consecutive Masters tournaments. They never got hurt.
Yeah.
But they weren't, you know, taxing their bodies the way they do now. And it's all because everybody is trying to generate as much speed as they can. And in order to get speed, you got to work out. You got to start swinging faster and all that kind of stuff. And speed equals length. And length has become so important in the modern game, whether it's the regular tour, ladies tour, champions tour. It's all about length. And I think it's taking a toll on the players' bodies. There's no question about it.
I wish he'd swing easy, because it would be fabulous to have him out on the golf course, just watching him play. I saw a clip of an incredible shot where he hit it, and it was perfect, and it went right on the, it's just amazing watching him perform. It's exciting. He has a very, he doesn't look like he's excited, but it's exciting to watch him. Isn't that strange?
Well, it really is. You know, we're doing a thing on Golf Channel this year, which is reliving the 25th anniversary of his year in 2000, where he won the U.S. Open by 15 shots and the Open Championship by 8. It was the greatest golf that has ever been played. You can argue who's the greatest player, whether it's Nicklaus or Woods. I think it's pretty even. But in terms of who has played the best golf at a certain time ever, that was the year that Tiger played the best golf that's ever been played, and I saw a lot of it. And it's so different watching him play. It looks different, and it sounds different when he hits it.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable. It would be terrific. I hope he can play. on the Champions Tour. And it would be a shot in the arm. It'd be awesome because those guys are all great players. They have this laid back way about them and they still get it right in the hole. More people should be watching them to really learn how to play this game the way we could all play it. I really wanted to talk with you, Mark. I always want to talk with you, Mark. But the Century, I got this notice. The Century drives impact on Maui with record-setting contribution from 2025 event. That was the headline. Tournament officials announced today that the Century will continue to drive impact on Maui with a record 747,704 contribution to local nonprofits as a result of its 2025 event. That's it's almost $1 million, you know.
It's really remarkable, Danielle. I have to tell you, it's just amazing. You know, this tournament has been going on for how many years? I mean, since the early 1980s, back when the beneficiary was the J. Walter Cameron Center on Maui, and we didn't give nearly as much money, but it was really needed back then. That was a home for a number of nonprofits back then that needed every $1,000 contribution that they could get. But if you take a look at what has happened on the island of Maui over the last 5 years, Danielle, and you think about starting with COVID, and then, of course, the wildfires, it would have been very easy for these charitable contributions to go down. And it's just totally because of this tremendous commitment to the community by Century, by the PGA Tour, that they're able to continue to make these contributions when the revenues just simply are not there. They're not there right now. The island has not recovered yet to the point where they're generating the same revenues that they were, you know, pre-COVID even.
Yeah.
And so it's just remarkable that they have made the commitment and are given as much money as they gave away last Tuesday at the Boys and Girls Club there in Lahaina.
That's awesome. It's awesome. A total raised over the many years, $9.7 million for the local nonprofits. Century Insurance continues, of course, to contribute to six key community organizations: Scouting America Aloha Council, Hale Makua Health Services, J. Walter Cameron Center, Kalima o Maui, Lahaina Luna High School Foundation, and Lahaina Junior Golf. And just to quote here right now, Max Novina, the executive director of Century, we're extremely proud to announce over $747,000 in community impact funds this year. This achievement made possible through the continued support of our partners, our fans, and the Maui community. Their support allows us to invest in initiatives across West Maui as Lahaina continues down its path to rebuilding. So all of it from the heart, and they're so involved. That's what makes me so proud, you know, to know that Century wants to continue to be here and really make a difference. So it's just a really huge kudos to the folks
at Century.
Forget,
yeah, don't forget, Danielle, that Century has also given, in addition to the tournament proceeds, they've given two separate gifts of $1 million each to Keiki Mental Health for West Maui. They've given the money to the Maui United Way, and it's going to such a great cause because we know the issues that everybody's faced with on West Maui still there in this rebuilding process. And Century has just continued to become a bigger and bigger part of this community. And there was about a dozen people from Wisconsin that came out this past week for the announcement. They really have become part of the community. It's this connected communities between Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and Maui is really remarkable. And can't say enough about Century, and we are really glad to have them through 2035. How about that?
Yeah, it's wonderful. All right. I wanted to ask you a question about the new commissioner of the LPGA, Craig Kessler. The 10th commissioner of the LPGA, 10 years with the PGA of America. Some people say he reminds them of Mike Wann. Do you know him?
He is one of my best friends in the entire world. I actually kind of mentored him early on in his days with Top Golf. He was not in the golf world when I first got to know him. He was in the finance world and ended up in the Top Golf scene through a financial deal. And I kind of mentored him on his way getting into what the real world of professional golf was like. And I know him extremely well, and I will tell you, kind of just between you and me and a whole bunch of your listeners, he's coming out to Hawaii next week for about 8 days. It's going to be his 40th birthday, and we're going to do a little brainstorming about the future of the LPGA.
Oh, that's fantastic, because, you know, one of the questions that was posed is, like, what are the challenges that he has? And one of them is the LPGA schedule is challenging in and of itself for the ladies playing, because, I mean, one minute they're in Europe and then they're back in the States and then they're going back to Europe, and then it doesn't have a flow to it. It's kind of grueling in a way.
It's got a lot of work to do, Craig does. There's no question about it. The last few years really have not been particularly good in terms of the growth pattern for the LPGA, because it has been all over the place. And I think you will see him start with the players and getting their trust. He knows how important it is for the players to trust their commissioner, and he's got to be able to do that. I'm not sure that was there in the recent sort of hierarchy at the LPGA. But he believes very strongly in the product. He loves the LPGA. He loves the players. And I think he's going to almost kind of start from scratch and say, what do we really need to do? How do we build a schedule that makes sense so we're not ping-ponging back and forth across, you know, the globe all the time? And not to mention the fact you never know when the LPGA is going to be on. With the PGA Tour, you know what time it's on. You know what's network it's on. It's either on NBC or it's on CBS. Those are the only two, really, or Golf Channel early in the week. So he's got to get some sort of sanity to that schedule, and that's going to be a pretty heavy lift. If you look, Danielle, at what's happened to the Lotte, that's a perfect example of an event that was secured in its date. Everything was going well. We had back-to-back LPGA events in Hawaii, and now we're down to only one. And it's changed dates the last couple of years and moved to the spring and then the fall. And then, you know, it's kind of all over the place. And, you know, for crying out loud, Allison Corpus didn't even play in her own tournament this past year.
Yeah.
You know, because it was right before a major championship or right after a major, one of the two. I can't remember which one. And so there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there is. I love it. So 700 messages. Can you imagine? The man got 700 messages when the announcement, he said, I don't think this is one of those opportunities where we start with 100 days of listening. It's time to explode out of the gates. I like his attitude. I think the ladies are in good shape and good hands with someone who's been mentored by Mark Rolfing and has worked with the PGA of America for 10 years. I'm glad we have a commissioner for the LPGA that's ready to just rock, you know.
He is going to hit the ground running, I'll tell you that. And he is going to be a great commissioner. I give you great comfort in telling you that. He is going to be a great commissioner.
Awesome. Mark Rolfing, what are you up to next after you hang up here? What's your schedule?
I'm back for a week, and then I go back to the site of one of my great golf memories, the U.S. Open at Oakmont, where they're playing this year. And, of course, that was my Arnold Palmer interview back in 1994, the famous one, when O.J. Simpson was in the Bronco driving around L.A., and things were pretty crazy there. But so I have the U.S. Open the week after next, but I'm coming home for a week in between.
Great. And you're going to be sitting down with Craig. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse on a weekend that you're working hard. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. All right, we're going to come back. Pate Clarkson's with us. He's the Sports Information Director, Troon, Hawaii. It's the Pearl at Kalaoau right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
St- Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun? Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
It's Aloha Power's Honda Generator Sale. We have specials in every size. Save $200 on the Honda EU2200 and a free extended warranty worth $250 for a total savings of $450. Keep your lights on and your equipment running while others are in the dark. You want them? We got them today. And we ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment, EV Lay next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands. And enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Well, back in 2023, Ed Kageyama said this: "We have been diligently assessing the course, operations, and services to identify necessary enhancements that will improve the experience for golfers and the community. These improvements embody our vision for Pearl as a community gathering place and preferred venue for golf and entertainment. We are committed to enhancing the visitor experience at Pearl by upgrading our course and facilities. We will be better able to serve our guests and the community that continues to support us." And now to talk about what's been going on at Pearl. Pate Carson, Sports Information Director, Troon Hawaii. This is Pearl at Kalaauau. Welcome into the clubhouse, Pate.
Aloha, Danielle. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on the show.
Awesome. So the championship course, fully renovated?
Fully renovated. You know, first and foremost, one of the most notable changes, as you pointed out, is the course's new name, Pearl at Kalaauau. This special name really reinforces the club's deep connection to the community while honoring its six decades as Pearl Country Club. For context, the back nine renovation began in October of 2013 and the front nine in January of 2014. There were more or less kind of five overarching objectives of this renovation. One really was turning this dated layout into a modern, high-quality course that also offered recreational and communal spaces for those that were visiting. Two really was updating the infrastructure, both seen and unseen. You know, there's a famous quote by golf course architects where 75 to 80% of the golf course build is subsurface that the guests don't see. So it's imperative to ensure that the infrastructure is up to date. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. And Pearl was able to address that. Third, you know, not only increasing the shot values, but really crafting a course that could be maintained at a prescribed maintenance budget and keeping costs in order. Fourth, building a brand new short game training center. And fifth, revamping the clubhouse. Even if you don't play golf, Pearl is a staple in the community. They have brand new food and beverage offerings, event spaces, It's a very competitive product now, and the best part is, under new ownership that's local, these revenues will stay in Hawaii.
Yes! That's what does subservice mean?
Subsurface, anything beneath the initial ground surface. So think irrigation, drainage. You know, it's imperative for a golf course to continue to monitor their subsurface infrastructure in order to create a compelling product above the ground itself.
Okay, so like water lines and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Wells, I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's just, you know, something that most people, they see the top. And, you know, as long as they don't see all this stuff, it's like going to Disneyland, you know, behind the scenes. This is what's really happening. Now, this
That's
is
right.
terrific. But everyone loved Pearl Country Club. And I mean, it was, you could never get a tee time at Pearl Country Club because it was always sold out. So you have a captive audience already, and now you've made it even more special.
It's great. It has, you know, in addition to upgraded course conditions, it has panoramic views of Pearl Harbor and the area mountains. It's really an ideal venue for casual rounds, corporate events, special events. I think some of the most notable transformations that guests listening here today would notice include the green complexes. All 20, 18 on the course and two practice were completely redesigned and updated. With an emphasis on playability, they're now all up to USGA specs. Six new bunkers were added in a way that enhances playability and reduces maintenance. A couple tee boxes are new for better views and maintenance and shot values. The practice facilities, two new chipping greens were constructed. And behind the clubhouse, there is a multi-use space that's a little less than 2,000 square feet. That's tightly mowed past Palom. And what it does now is it offers this immaculate event space with beautiful views of sunset overlooking Pearl.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I just got the view in my mind's eye. So who did the redesign?
It was a combination of folks led by True in Hawaii, Ed and his team, and some other contractors, both local and on the mainland.
Cool. So it was a real collaborative operation with, I imagine, with some of the local guys, you know, expressing what the regular audience, the regular customer, the regular golfer wouldn't want to lose, but adding into that.
Absolutely. Even modern attributes like receiving brand new EasyGo golf carts that are equipped with on-course GPS, Bluetooth speakers so guests can, you know, play their favorite songs.
Wow.
And each golf cart has its own QR code where you can order food and beverage directly from the cart, and then Pearl staff will deliver it to you. Looking at your GPS, they know exactly where you are. So, you know, respecting the club's storied history, but also looking ahead to the next generation and how to best serve their needs.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. And so that was, that's, you know, elevating the guest experience, would you say? I say so.
Absolutely. And early results from the transformation have been pretty promising. Of course, it recently opened, but our consumer demographics are skewing much younger. Green fees are up over 40%. On-course food and beverage is up over 100%. And we didn't touch upon it, but the clubhouse underwent an extensive redesign to accompany the golf course, including new decor and a ballroom expansion of almost 30%. The kitchen was totally rearranged to better accommodate banquet volumes. So think, you know, wedding, everybody being fed at the same time. So now they can accommodate that.
Wow.
A lot of local food and beverage offerings, and those revenues are up over 50% year to date.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great. And then this is tournament ready conditions. Tell us about that.
Pearl has been a staple in the community, as we referenced, and from that, they take great pride in hosting a variety of tournaments, not only for the local high school players, but, you know, Ed is the head golf coach for HPU. So he's been able to help host collegiate events, and the club is going to look to continue to host corporate outings and perhaps other amateur events in the years ahead.
That's great. And okay, this is where we're going to go from tournament ready conditions to a new pitch and putt course, a 3-hole short course.
Pearl had some extra acreage to play with as part of this renovation, and it's all the rage at clubs right now to have short courses, and Pearl, again, wanted to stay competitive. So there is a 3-hole short course. All holes range from 40 to 60 yards. Each name has a formal Leila Hawaii name with fun English translations. It's about a 1.2-acre short course that's well-positioned to host corporate events, junior matches, and youth clinics. The first hole is translated to the upstart, which kind of symbolizes the start of a player's journey and growth on the course. Hole number two is a playful challenge that tests creativity and finesse. And the third, the mischief maker, as it's known, is going to demand both accuracy and strategy while adding a spark of fun and mischief.
That's fun. Yeah, I just like the idea of having, you know, having the opportunity to play something that's smaller that you can see. And for folks who haven't played in a while, it's a kind of a nice sort of moving back into the game opportunity. So you're not dealing with a lot of acreage. You're dealing with something that you can see ahead, you can plan, and you're not using too many clubs. And that makes it so much easier for people to get out, play 3 holes, short course. The name is Namomi Ekolu. It's a great name. And it's a pitch and putt course. So you're going to really have fun at Pearl at Kalaau'au. You've also got one of the top junior golf programs. Do they use the 3-hole short course?
They will when it formally reopens in just a couple weeks. You know, for decades past, Hawaii's highly ranked junior players, many of them have entertained moving to the mainland to train because the facilities are there. So what Pearl has done is following the transformation, the new owner, he really wanted to help groom homegrown talent. So from this, they built a brand new short game training facility, the short course we referenced. And the objective is to really harness the full potential of Hawaii's youth, not only from little kids, but all the way up through college and professional ranks. So Pearl is going to be working hand in glove with Casey and his junior development golf program to really teach players of all levels. Their objective is to build confidence, passion for the sport, and a supportive environment. So we're cautiously optimistic about the quality of players that this will produce.
Okay, Casey, I'm not going to. I think I know the last. Who is Casey?
Nakama.
Yeah, Casey Nakama. Okay, I thought so, but I didn't want to just jump in there and make a mistake. Oh, cool. Very cool. He's a really good teacher. He's a really good teacher. So this is all part of Hawaii's top junior golf program and really making it stand out and let all the age groups get in and get the best instruction.
Absolutely. They don't want to be a hindrance of not having the facilities in the state for the best players coming out of the Aloha State. So you know, Pearl now has the facilities and the programming to coach up these children in order to get them collegiate scholarships.
Collegiate scholarships. That's like the big ding, 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 ding. Awesome. That's awesome. And now you, this is all part of Troon Hawaii. And how many golf courses are under the Troon umbrella in the state?
A combination of full management and sales and marketing. We have properties across almost every island in Hawaii, and in particular, we have a lot of movement right now on Maui at Kanapali. Would love to just touch upon some of our offerings with children as they get ready to come out of school and for the summer at Kanapali.
Yes, please. Great.
One of our newest instructors, his name is John Tempest. For those who may recognize the name, he's also the head boys and girls golf coach at Lahaina Luna, and he's also the first tee coach for Kanapali. So he has come on board, and he's offering lessons for children, families, seniors, really everybody under the umbrella. And, you know, one of the biggest hindrances to golf is cost and access. Well, Kona Poly has really offered some competitive rates this summer. You can play the Kai course if you're age 7 to 12 for just $25.
Wow.
And the Royal course, which has hosted numerous tour events over the years, for just $45. So we're hopeful that the cost will allow more families to participate this summer, in addition to numerous offerings from the First Tee and other programs that utilize those facilities.
Yeah. What was the gentleman's name again from Lahaina Luna?
John Tempest.
Yeah, I'd love to have him on the show. If, you know, you could nudge him.
We'd be happy to.
Yeah, that'd be great. So you have new junior lessons, and this is all at the Kona Poly course, correct?
That is correct. At the practice facilities and both 18-hole golf courses, and there's also a foot golf course.
Say that again. There's a what golf course?
Foot golf.
You're
a combination
kidding.
Of golf and soccer, which families can also participate in.
Wait a minute. How do you play foot golf?
We have soccer balls and other similar balls available for rental, and you can kick them into a hole. So we create a mini golf course, the soccer style, on some extra acreage. And it's a great way, a very non-intimidating, fun way to get on the course, get outside, and experience Kona Poly in a new light.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
We'd love to have you.
That sounds like, you know, fun.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm not going to get angry with myself. I really have to work on that part. Or disappointed. It's not really anger. It's more like a disappointment in oneself. And there's nothing worse than being, messed up. And you're disappointed, and then you're embarrassed on top of everything. By the way, if you're experiencing any of those things, you know, you're not alone, and just shake it off, okay? We all have that, and that's just the way
yes,
it is.
Yes, we do.
Okay, and what are the KKTs on the Kai course?
They're all at 150 yards or less. So, again, it aims to be a welcoming environment, where children who don't hit it far have the ability to still learn how to score. It's very walker-friendly, so we hope that many children will be able to experience that in the months ahead.
You should let us adults get in there, too.
I know.
We build up our confidence.
You know, when you watch the recent U.S. Open, some of the par threes now stretch to 250 yards.
It's crazy.
So this is much more appealing for the everyday player and children alike.
Yeah. So, if you were an adult, could you play on the KKTs if there was an opening?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. There you go, folks. Okay, all of that is Kona Poly, and we were talking about, I love the name, Kalaau. What it means? Is that the area, the valley? I'm not sure.
Yep, that's the area. And then we didn't touch upon earlier, but the meaning of the brand new three-hole short course is translated to the three pearls for the three holes. So we have a lot of fun synergies to the rebrand of Pearl.
That's wonderful. That's the Na Momi Ekolu. That's awesome. Thank you. That's wonderful. Three pearls for the three-hole short course. Paige, thank you for on a Saturday morning getting up early and taking the time to talk to us. Really appreciate it. This is exciting. Makes me want to go. Let's all go. Let's all go now.
We'd love to have you and your listeners anytime. Thanks, as always, for having me on the program, and look forward to speaking soon.
Yes, thank you, Paige. Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got Steve Pike. Okay, Spike on golf and travel. So he travels around the world. Oh, gee, it's so rough. And he eats food all over the place. But he also gets to find out about what the latest equipment is. And, you know, some of the we got to hear about. But we also want to know about some of the fabulous dishes that he runs across. I mean, there's one picture, and you'll have to follow him too. MySpikeTravel.com. That's his spike on golf and travel. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Okay, Genghis. It's Aloha Power's Memorial Week Honda EU2200 generator sale. If you haven't gotten one yet, we have specials in every size. You get $200 off your Honda EU2200 generator. It's $10.99, plus a free extended warranty worth another $250. So you need power on your job site? Out in a field, you need to keep your lights on, your equipment running. You know, get your Honda generator. Get it today. You want them? We got them. We ship off island. You know that. New shipments come in daily, and we're open Monday through Saturday. It's Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and also in Waipahu. It's Aloha Power Equipment, and we put power at your fingertips.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Steve Pike, Spike, on golf and travel at myspiketravel.com. Owner, editor, Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel, award-winning travel writer. In fact, multiple award-winning journalist and author who helped define golf business reporting in the early 1990s as the first golf business editor for Golf Weave magazine, later at Golf World and Golf Shop Operations magazines for the New York Times, the Magazine Group, and Golf Digest. Pike further pioneered this genre at the PGA of America, Time Warner, as the golf business writer and editor for PGA.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend, indeed. And I follow Steve on, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, wherever he is. Not Twitter anymore, is it? It's x.com or something. But I want to know something, because I ran across one of your posts that said, "The Office, Ardglass Golf in Northern Ireland along the Northern Atlantic Coast." And all that it said was, there was like, a big rock. "The oldest clubhouse in the world, 1405.
That's correct.
Is that real?
That is correct. That is correct. And the clubhouse some of the original structure of the clubhouse, of course, still exists today. There's been bits and pieces added on and taken off over the last, what, 600 some odd years. But, yeah, it stands right just a few yards from what is considered to be one of the more daunting first holes in all of Ireland and all of the UK, too. It's an amazing first hole that goes almost dead uphill with the North Atlantic to your left.
What club do you choose for that, kind sir?
Well, you would have to be the driver. And on this day, fortunately, the wind was not blowing too badly, so it was fairly easy to get the ball up that hill on a blind shot into the fairway. The fairway is much wider than you think, so it's a little bit more intimidating than you might think it is. But if the wind blows, probably would be wise to go up a couple of tee boxes to try and get it up that hill.
Amazing. Well, you know, you got to ask yourself sometimes, why? Why did they decide to put it here?
well, because that's the way the creator did it, because that's where the dunes are at.
Ah, see? There's a reason for all of this.
There's a reason for all of that. A lot of the courses, of course, in Ireland play, in between the sand dunes, which is why they're called the links, because they connect the sea to the links to the land. And then occasionally you get a course like Jameson Links. That's not necessarily built between the sand dunes. It's built on top of the sand dunes.
Do those dunes shift?
Do they shift? Yeah, probably, but probably not too much noticeable in our lifetime.
Okay. Yeah, I would think every time you got on the course, it would be a little bit different.
it's definitely every bit. It's different every time because of the way the wind is blowing or not blowing, but. So it becomes a different golf course every time you play it. We were fortunate to play some golf in Ireland, like you were saying, a couple of weeks ago, with in 70-degree weather with hardly any wind.
Wow.
And there was people there putting on sunscreen. And that was very unusual for Northern Ireland.
So what's it like going to Northern Ireland?
It's tremendous. It's great. The people are friendly. It's easy to get to. There's lots of great places to stay. Galgorm Resort near Royal Port Rush.
Yes.
And Port Stewart.
Yes.
Or you can stay at a terrific place overlooks Royal Port Rush. That's called Curran Links. Curran Luxury Apartments.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
That is built basically for golf buddy groups of 4 to 8 people in a group. They're big apartments with full-size kitchens, bedrooms, and baths, and about a 10-minute walk from the middle of the town of Port Rush and all of its bars.
Right. Yes, libations aplenty.
Exactly, and about a 10-minute drive the other way from Bushmills.
Wow, I mean it's just so easy.
The distillery, yes.
Yeah. You can go get distilled.
Exactly.
Yes. Then you had another post about the Delish sneak preview of the new, I'm going to mispronounce this, Ukiah, Japanese...
Ukiah,
Japanese smokehouse in Fort Lauderdale, promises to be a big hit. So did you go to Northern Ireland, back to the States, and go to this Japanese smokehouse?
I did, yes. That was about 2 nights ago.
So what is this? T- Tell me about the new Ukiah.
Well, yeah. It's the offshoot of the owners from a really popular Asian fusion place in Miami called Kiyu. They no longer own that, but they started Ukiah. The original one is in Asheville about 5 years ago. And being from South Florida anyway, they decided that that was such a success that they would put one in right in the wharf area here in downtown Fort Lauderdale, you know, and then it has, you know, it's a mixture of Asian cuisine and American barbecue, whether it's ribs, steak, you know, and things like that that have that still have that Asian flair to them too, and it's really, really good.
It sounds perfect. I mean, it's mm-hmm. you know, if you. Yeah, if you just want that meat and potatoes, you got that. You know, otherwise,
well, meat and the Japanese potatoes, the Japanese sweet potatoes that have a just that are about as that are just what their name would say. They're very sweet.
Oh my,
very sweet tasting. Yes,
yeah, that sounds wonderful. Absolutely yeah. fabulous. Now, I did promise earlier in the show that we were going to talk about some new equipment coming out. Next Gen Titleist T Series, the irons debut this week.
Yeah, on the tour they do. Titleist, the acoustic company, which is the parent company of Titleist, every 2 years it introduces the new irons, and then every other year it introduces, you know, its new drivers and metalwoods. So this year, last year was the GT line of metalwoods. This year is a new T series line of irons that they've seated on the PGA Tour beginning this week at Colonial and on the DP Tour, and they'll probably be out, if memory serves, I believe they'll be at retail, I want to say May 30th.
Nice.
And there's the T100s, 200s, 250s, and 350s, and depending on your skill level, you know, you can pick a set, certainly get fitted for the irons that works best for you. Obviously, most of the tour players play the T100s or a combination of the T100s, 150s, and the 200s, because those are the more blade-like irons that have you know, a lot of pronounced feel to them, and they have that player's look that they like. And if you want something that's much more forgiving but still has all of the bells and whistles, you could say, of what the tour players have, then you can get the T350s.
Yeah.
Have larger sweet spots, of course, and more forgiving. They're more weight towards the bottom. But, you know, again, the best thing to do is you can buy them off the rack, but the best thing to do with the Titleist or any clubs of that caliber is to get fit for them.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. If you're going to shell out approximately how much money for a club?
A couple of grand.
If you're going to shell out a couple of grand, they better be fit for you.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a bit of an exaggeration. Anywhere, I'd say at least $1,200 to $1,500.
Okay, there you go.
But you know, that said,
yes.
That said, too, I think it's important to point out that what you're getting fit for, and it varies depending on who you talk to, but in a lot of cases, what you're getting fit for is not necessarily, while it is certainly the club head, depending on your skill level, it's every bit the shaft. You need to get a shaft that fits your swing speed, and that includes, you know, the tip, what it tips at, what it flexes at, the weight of it, whether you get a graphite shaft or you get a steel shaft. Really, the shaft, as they say, is the engine of the club. So, in most times, whether you know it or not, what you're really getting fit for is the shaft.
Right on. Thank you. I mean, that's so much comes from, you know, your knowledge. Thank you. Now, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and one other thing that's sort of, I don't know if it's a pet peeve of mine, but I find it interesting that when people get fit for clubs, like you said, it's an expensive process, and then they'll just go to their local retail store, pro shop, whatever, and pick out whatever putter they like, whether it's a Cameron putter, whether it's an Odyssey putter, Seymour putter, whatever. They'll pick out one they like and spend $400, $500, $300 on the putter, and they think that's great. But it's also important to know that while you spend all that money on clubs, it's just as important to get the right putter for you. And that, a lot of times, just includes getting one that's the right length. Most people use a 34-inch putter when they probably should be using a 33-inch putter.
That 1 inch.
So
makes
that
a difference.
Inch makes a tremendous amount of difference.
That's good to know. See?
All yeah, right. And the story behind that, if you have a minute,
sure,
is back in the day, as they say, when putters were sold in pro shops, they were just basically sold in golf bags. Instead of now, when you know you have the big retail stores and they're spread on the putting surfaces, and you can see 80 or 100 putters all lined up.
Yeah.
But they were sold in golf bags, and when you put them in golf bags, the best way to see the club heads of those putters was to have 34-inch putters. 33-inch putters went too far down into the bag. You couldn't find them.
Oh.
That's why putters are 34 inches long. Some of them are 35, but that's why they're 34 inches.
You know, who would have known that? Thank you so much. Thank you very much. It was a display issue. So because you wanted
well,
to
display. Of course it is, yeah. It's all about marketing.
It's all about marketing. Hey, speaking of marketing, you also posted Faldo's shoes. What's up with Faldo's shoes? Those
well,
squares.
Nick Faldo was a partner in a company called Squares Golf, which makes terrific shoes. They've made great inroads the last couple of years, as far as being sort of a disruptor, and they're beyond the disruptor point now of being one of the top players in the golf shoe business. They have square toes, and now they've branched out to have shoes for racquetball, Major League Baseball players. However, and the technology is supposedly designed with that square toe technology to help stability and to help increase club head speed for golfers and that sort of thing. You can believe whatever you want to believe on that. But Faldo was a partner in that, and the shoes that he has now are called the NF 1990 shoes. There's a limited edition of 1,000 of them. They're the ones that basically are versions or copies of the shoes that he wore to win the Masters and the Open Championship in 1990. So they have that same sort of construction as the shoes that he wore in 1990.
Okay. I can only imagine what is, you know, the price is of those shoes.
Yeah, because there's only 1,000 of them, so yeah, they would be fairly expensive.
Pricey.
For your feet. Yeah. but squares, it's golf shoes are like a lot of other different things in high end golf sales these days. Whether they're golf balls, whether they're golf shoes, golf clubs, it's hard to find bad product, particularly at a higher end.
Yeah.
And Squares is one of those companies, along with a company called Painter Golf, and of course FootJoy, that makes some of the best golf shoes on the market.
I remember, was it 10, maybe longer ago, that Squares came out, and I didn't hear about them anymore. And so when I saw the Squares in the photo that you took of Faldo's shoes, I went, oh, Squares still exists. There it is.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, they do a lot of, again, social media marketing and that type of thing. But it's you know, like most things that are high end in the golf business these days, you know, it's quality product, and I like them because they're one of the few golf shoes that fit a wide foot like mine.
All right, that is really good. You know, you grow up barefoot.
Yes, well, as you grew up like me, growing up in places like Kansas and Texas, where they wear cowboy boots.
Oh.
And I have a high instep and flat feet, and I can't wear cowboy boots.
Which, bummer.
But you know, I was made fun of for not wearing cowboy boots.
Oh.
But you know,
we're gonna go to Top Golf. Right now, I was just thinking when I was reading about your, you know, 1405. That's when the oldest golf course in the world was established, in 1405.
Well, that's when the oldest clubhouse was built. Yeah.
Okay, the oldest clubhouse was established in 1405. I was looking at Top Golf. Gosh, you know, wow, down 17%, closes at 655 this past week, right? I mean,
sure, right.
What's going on?
Well, it's actually made a little bit of a comeback.
Oh, good.
It's been sort of a roller coaster the past couple of weeks because it reacts a little bit to what the market does.
Yeah.
And when the market goes up and down, sometimes Topgolf and even Acushnet is affected by it. But I think, again, as we talked about before, Wall Street, I think, is basically just waiting to see what the Topgolf Callaway decision on is going to be on how it's going to split the Callaway and Topgolf brands.
What do you mean by split?
Well, they want to take the instead of having one company, which is Topgolf Callaway. They want to, again, make it two companies. They want to make a Callaway Golf Company and then make a Topgolf company onto its own.
Yes, that way each one is responsible for whatever good they do or not do.
That's correct. Where one company, in this case, say Topgolf, does not bring down Callaway Golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least you could read that into the numbers. So that's what we're waiting to find out, how that's going to be done. Will that be done with just a direct sale of Topgolf to another entity? Maybe. We don't know. I think if Callaway had its druthers, it would rather spin off Topgolf into an IPO, probably use that IPO money to bring down its debt and still have some sort of a share in the company itself.
Yeah, yeah, makes total sense.
But we don't know, because now when this was announced, the intent to separate was announced almost a year ago at this time. We didn't know things about tariffs and economies and things like that that are variables that are now all into play.
Well, let's go back to 1405.
Okay.
I think, you know, from my perspective right now, it seems so much simpler back then. Yeah.
Well, it probably did, but again, golf was an aspirational sport.
You know, this is true.
You still bought equipment, whether it was made not in 1405, but by, you know, in the 1800s by old Tom Morris and by other guys who tried to create equipment that made it easier to play the game. So in that respect, regardless of how long golf has been played, it's always been an aspirational game where guys try to, in a lot of ways, find quick fixes to fix their game.
Yes.
And again, I would go back to the best way to fix your game is strictly my opinion, obviously practice, which I don't like to do, but don't necessarily get the latest driver or the latest helping wood or whatever that somebody says it takes 8 shots off of my game. Well, no, it didn't. the best way to improve your score is to learn how to putt. Get a putter that works for you.
And there is the message of this show right now is that. Steve Pike, thank you so much. You know, Steve's golf partners have included Arnold Palmer, Nancy Lopez, rock star Alice Cooper, baseball legends Joe DiMaggio and George Brett, singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, what it was like playing with each one of those people, we'll save that for next time. What do you say?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Steve, thank you for being inside the clubhouse this morning. So much fun.
Thanks, Danielle. Have a good weekend.
You too. Aloha. And Anthony Pioppi, our author and golf writer, executive director, Seth Rainer Society. He strolled down Kahuku Fairways. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
KORLYNI Honolulu.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf. It's Aloha Power's Honda Generator Sale. We have specials in every size. Save $200 on the Honda EU2200 and a free extended warranty worth $250 for a total savings of $450. Keep your lights on and your equipment running while others are in the dark. You want them? We got them today. And we ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment, EV Lay next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And we're going to bring in Anthony Pioppi, the author and golf writer and executive director, Seth Rainer Society, the man who's just finished walking the fairways of Kahuku. You know, a lot of people forget that there is a golf course, a Kahuku golf course, and they don't even know who built the golf course. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, how long were you in Hawaii when you were here? Just, a month ago?
No, like 2 weeks ago. I was there for 4 days. I flew in on Monday and flew out on a Thursday.
Fantastic. And Where did you stay?
I was in Waikiki.
You're Waikiki. So you drove all the way out to the North Shore.
Well, I did. And I have a friend, John Monahan, who's the former green chairman at Wailea. And so I got a tour of Wailea, and I told him about Kahuku, and he's like, "Oh, we absolutely have to go see it." So he kindly drove me out there so he could go walk the golf course.
And that's because you are the author of four books: To the Nines,
I am.
Haunted Golf, The History of the Minicata Club Golf Course. Did I pronounce that right?
You did.
Good. And The Finest Nines: North America's Best Nine-Hole Golf Courses. Didn't you also write something about Kahuku?
Well, I listed Kahuku as one of the top 25 nine-hole courses in the country. I had just heard so many great things about it from a variety of people whose opinions I valued. Then looking at photos of it, you know, Google Earth and that kind of stuff, it was hard not to put it, in that book. I mean, it's quite the place. And then when you get there, I didn't realize the width of the fairways and the expanse of the property and how open it is. It's really something. I've been on most of the courses in that book, and Cuckoo's really something. I mean, the green sights are amazing, and the way the land moves, and of course the wind and the views and all that. But it's really a special place.
It is. It's on the point, you know, and yeah. That in and of itself is an amazing feeling. Well, give us some insight. Who designed it? How long has it been there?
So, I actually haven't read the chapter in a couple of years, but it goes all the way back to the people that built it were the English that were running the plantations in that
of
area.
Of course.
It was either pineapple or
sugar.
Or sugarcane,
yeah.
And they were looking to build the golf course.
Because they all play golf.
Because they all play golf. They brought the game with them, you know.
Yes. So who designed it?
I don't think there was anybody that they ever – it wasn't a named person. It wasn't somebody like that you could look up and be like, oh, he designed this or he designed that. I think it was just people who were there at the time and, you know, had enough understanding of basic golf architecture of what was going on to build it. You know, and one of the great things for them is it's built on sand.
Yeah.
So, you know, you dig a hole and you have a bunker, like, you know, with good playable sand in it. It's an amazing site. The topography, it's relatively flat, but the fairways move. You know, it's not like you're hitting off of a basketball court. So there was all that. And you know, the English who built it would have played links golf. You know, they would have been on the coast of England, or, you know, if the wealthier would have traveled to Scotland and play the great court, or Ireland and play the great courses there. And so, you know, they were presented with a links style piece of property. They knew what to do with it.
When you say Kahuku moves, what do you mean?
Well, the land rolls. You know, it's not dead flat, and it's got some nice roll in terrain. There's some undulations, so that, you know, you're not hitting off of dead flat lies. And, you know, they were able to nestle the greens into spots that have, you know, natural movement to it. You know, from side to side or front to back, or even some swales in the green. So it's, you know, it's really quite the place. I'd like to get out and play it. I'd like to come back and play it, to tell you the truth.
Oh, good, that's fantastic. I'll walk with you.
Now, that would be great.
Yeah. Now tell us, who takes care of it?
My understanding is it's a municipal golf course, and you understand the island power structure and government structure better than I do,
yes.
But it's listed as a municipal golf course.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, that in itself is amazing because it's affordable, and I'm not sure there's too many. I can't believe that there could be a municipal golf course with, you know, better views, you know, than there. It's really something.
I hope you're all listening to this, because, but you also found your friend. What were your observations? Is the terrain holding up?
Well, no, the greens were fine and the bunkers were fine, but I had never been there, right? So my friend was telling me that he hadn't been there in about 3 or 4 years, and that the conditioning of the fairways had fallen off, and there was more weeds than there had been, and, you know, there was, you could see the remnants of there was, or it's still in patches, some good turf,
but
the conditions had deteriorated, not to the point of, oh, I wouldn't play the golf course,
right.
But it might be one of those things where you're going to roll your ball, you know, 4 or 5 feet to get it on some turf instead of getting it on some weeds.
Okay, gotcha.
It looks like basic maintenance, some basic kind of, you know, fungicide to take care, herbicide to take care of, that kind of thing. Would do it, but you know, and I don't know what's going on.
Sure, locally,
you know, how the budgets are of, and who's doing that, and all that. But
I would still encourage
anybody who's never played it to go there.
Right on. I mean, see, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Right, 100%. It doesn't have to be perfect. Right?
Yeah, and how many not perfect golf courses have you played?
Well, you know, I think that's part of the misunderstanding about some of the Lynx Lane golf courses in the UK. Because they're unirrigated, because a lot of it is natural grass, there is, you know, overseeding, that you're not hitting off of, you know, these perfect lies, or, you know, this incredibly lush, thick fairways that we're used to. It's kind of in our mind as that's the way golf should be, as if Augusta is something we should be striving for when it isn't. And so when you get out to courses that like natural links lane courses, or, you know, that don't have fairway irrigation, that you don't get what, I'm putting this in quotes, perfect lies, but they're perfectly acceptable, and you just learn to play them.
Yeah, no, and what's important is it's the game. So you're actually, when you play at Kahuku, you're actually playing the beginnings of the game, and then it just got very complicated, and everything has to be perfect in the perfect world of golf, which, of course, is not which is not perfect at all. Got, you know,
100%, and that's the right. And so, and with Kahuku, with the wind and the firm turf, I mean, the firm ground and all that stuff, you're playing the ball on the ground, which is harkens back to the earliest days of golf.
Yeah.
And with that comes bounces, and there's some bounces that go the right way and some bounces that don't go the right way, and that's part of the game, you know, from its earliest days, and that's the way I would rather play it, rather than just, you know, firing shots up into the air that are landing on soft greens and sticking, you know, or sitting up on perfect turf every time. I think it's fun to learn to adapt your game to the environment that you're playing on.
Yeah. So it was actually 1937 was when the course opened, and it was built by the estate or on land by the James Campbell. Huge, family.
Right.
And that's where, you know, and the plantation workers pretty much put it all together. Just so everybody knows a little bit more about it. And I've got to get out there.
You do.
Yes,
you do. And when you do, when you get off the golf course, you'll immediately message me. I guarantee you. To tell me that you were there, and you'll send me some photos, and they'll be amazing photos. I mean, you can't click your camera without not finding a great photo.
Yes. So when you wrote The Finest Nines, and you featured Kahuku Golf Course in it. Matt Chinnella, by the way, loves the golf course.
Yes, he does, 100%.
Yeah, and yep. So does Zach Blair.
And Zach Blair was on the PGA Tour. He played for BYU, and they would come over and play a tournament at Turtle Bay every year. And somehow somebody told him about the course, and he took a walk out there one day and just fell in love with it.
And, you know, so many people don't even know that. You know, that's why I wanted you to be on the show and talk about it and, you know, reopen the eyes of people who might just go, it's all falling apart.
Right. No, it's not. It's that the greens are fine. And like I said, I mean, the fairways have some weeds in it, but it's not like, you know, it's dirt. It just, I'd play it. I played right now, you know.
And so where do you play golf at home?
Well, you know, I caddy on weekends, so that pretty much eats up eliminates any possibility of me playing in a league or men's club or anything like that. So I just try to get on different places around me and connect. One place I like to play is a 9-hole course in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, on the water called Fenwick. It's where Katharine Hepburn grew up playing.
Wow.
And there's photos of her on the golf course, and she writes about it in her biography. But it opened in 1897, 1898, somewhere around there. There's still no fairway irrigation, so you're playing on turf that's over 100, 25 years old, and a lot of wind because it's on Long Island Sound, and some amazing views. And, you know, the conditions aren't, again, in quotes, the conditions aren't perfect, but they're fantastic. You know, I play it every chance I get.
Yeah, I was just talking to Steve Pike, and we were talking about, you know, he has this on his Instagram or whatever feed it is, he had a picture of this plaque that said 1405, just, and that's when the clubhouse first opened, and it's still open.
Right, it's pretty amazing, right? I mean, when you think about that, and
yes.
what conditions they played on then, and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, so when you're writing your books and you get them out, what are you working on now?
So because I'm a Seth Rainer guy, I'm always doing research on Seth Rainer and his life and his work and all that. And at some point, I'd like to be able to write the biography of him. I've talked to some publishers about it.
Wow.
It's still a project that nothing's set with them. It's not like I'm about to sign a contract or anything like that. So that's really kind of the majority of my focus. You know, and when I was out your way, I was out to see Mid-Pacific, which is, as far as we know, Rainer's last design, and Wylie, which was his second last design. And both of them changed a lot over the years, but it was good to get on the property and, you know, with maps and drawings and stuff, kind of know, and some older photos, see what Rayner left behind and what his intent was and all that. So he was at the height of his career when he designed both those golf courses. So they were something.
Do you often feel like an archaeologist of golf?
Well, yeah, it's funny. You know, when you find stuff that used to exist, or I've done that thing where, even not far from me, gone into the woods to find an old golf course. You know, we have, you know, and find the old tees and the old greens and the old bunkers to see where it was, you know. And even on existing courses, you can see where holes have changed and, you know, been moved, sometimes for good and, you know, good reasons, and sometimes for bad reasons. And, you know, you're out there digging around. It's, you know, when you find an old golf course in the woods, it's like finding a shipwreck at the bottom of the ocean.
There you go.
You know?
Yes.
You know, you just kind of find these pieces and these remnants of it, and you can see what it was.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine, like, you can imagine standing on the deck of a ship. You can imagine standing on the fairway or a tee of a green of a golf course.
It's awesome.
Especially when you have an aerial to reference it. Like, you know exactly where you are.
So,
it's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. Four books, to the nines.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's the first book in the history of golf literature worldwide that solely focused on nine-hole golf courses. I grew up in central Massachusetts, and unbeknownst to me, well, there's a lot of nine-hole golf courses there, and I just assumed that's the way it was, and it's not true. Very few places in the country have an abundance of nine-hole golf courses. I think there's eight states that have more nine holes than 18 holes, and they're all west, or seven of them are west of the Mississippi, because they're just, you know, nine-hole courses in the middle of these small rural towns. And then Maine has, for whatever reason, probably having to do with the vacation industry going back into the early 1900s, they have nine-hole courses running up the coast of Maine. But I just was enamored with them growing up, and, you know, liked when I found good ones, and you know, I thought they had there was a story to tell about them. And so I did a book on, it's 29-hole courses around the country that just have really good stories associated with them, like Fenwick, where, you know, Katharine Hepburn played, and stories like that, and some old courses and some newer courses, and just ones that have good stories.
And then Haunted Golf.
Yeah.
What's that?
So it's part of a series by the publisher of that book, that they do haunted highways and haunted hotels, and my co-author Chris Gonzalez and I just told about ghost stories that revolved around golf courses, or, you know, some courses that had a hotel attached to it, and the hotel was attached, and,
yes,
you know, other ones where there's ghost stories of people wandering, ghost wandering on golf courses and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was good. It was a fun book. It was a lot of fun digging some stuff up, and I stayed in a couple of the hotels that were haunted, and, you know, I didn't see anything, but it was fun to be there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yes, this is great. The history of the Minnetonka Club Golf Course.
Yeah.
And
that's a Donald Ross course in Minneapolis that at one point was one of the premier golf courses in the United States. And because it's landlocked and can't be expanded to play to the modern, you know, golf ball and distance of golf ball flies, it won't be doing that again. But it hosted a USAM, a US Open, a US Women's Open, a Walker Cup.
Wow.
So at one time it was an extremely, extremely well-regarded golf course, and people who were involved with it were, you know, involved with the USGA from the early days and that kind of stuff. So, but it's a beautiful, beautiful golf course, and it's you'll never hear of it in the sense of national tournaments, just because it can't get any bigger than it is.
Right. And there's not enough.
Not enough land, right?
Yeah. Shore Acres, the first 100 years, 1916 to 2016.
Yeah, that's a Seth Rayner golf course north of Chicago in Lake Bluff, Illinois. And that was one of the first, off the top of my head, four of his designs that opened. Three of his courses opened in 1921 because they all, construction on them paused for World War One. And so that opened in 1921, and it's just a fabulous example of his early work. And I was lucky enough to get invited by the club president at the time to research and write the book.
Now, for folks who, you know, Seth Rayner, what's the big deal about Seth Rayner?
Well, yeah, and you guys are, you know, the majority of Seth Rayner's work was on the Atlantic Seaboard, so, you know, and a little bit in Chicago, one in Chicago, one in Lake Bluff, and one outside of Milwaukee. I think he stands out as one of the best of the golden age of architecture, which was 1910 to the beginning of the First World War. He was a student of Charles Blair MacDonald, who's the father of golf course architecture in America. And the whole premise of their design is options and angles, that if people of three different capabilities go out and play the golf course, there's three different routes to play holes and three different ways to play it and different challenges and different options for everybody. And so that's one reason. I think he has a very particular design style where he has raised green, doesn't move a lot of earth on the fairways, but has raised greens and large raised greens with steep fall offs that visually set him apart, mm-hmm. or MacDonald, Rayner, and then Rayner's protege Charles Banks apart from their contemporaries, so that if you see a Rayner golf course that hasn't or had little work done to it, you can see, you'll know standing in the first fairway looking at a green that it's a Rayner green.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Weiler was at one time one of that golf course. It just got changed. The club made massive changes to it in the 50s and 60s and had architects in that didn't respect what Rayner did, but they're trying to put back in that, the Rayner feel and quality to it. And they also lost five holes over the years when they added the hotel.
Yeah, that was a big hurt. Even though the hotel is beautiful, it was a big hurt for the course. So, and finally, why did you write the finest nines, the best nine-hole golf courses in North America?
I actually got approached by the publisher with that idea, and it's not something that had occurred to me. And I thought it was a fascinating concept because I still think that nine-hole courses don't get the respect that they deserve. I mean, if you look at the biggest golf magazines that rank golf courses, they're not ranking nine-hole golf courses or including nine-hole golf courses in their rankings. And we have this post-Second World War attitude that nine-hole golf courses are half golf courses or not real golf courses, but all the great architects designed nine-hole golf courses.
Donald
Rayner, Banks, Ross, McKenzie, Tillinghast, all those guys designed nine-hole golf courses.
It's awesome. You're so kind to be on the show, and I hope you come back to this wonderful land, and we'll go to Kahuku together.
That'd be great. I would love to walk it with you.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Golf author, magazine writer, senior writer for Superintendent Magazine, contributor to USGA website, Golf Course Architecture Magazine. You see, it's all there. He's a historian. He's an archaeologist. He's a senior writer for Superintendent Magazine and executive director of Seth Rayner Society and member of the St. Andrews Golf Club in Scotland.
Yes,
so there.
Yeah, that's great. That's going for me, too.
Yeah, and I thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. It's been a pleasure being in touch with you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. All right. We want to thank the people who make this show possible, of course, because without them, there would be no The Golf Club. The Golf Club's sponsors are Aloha Power, Aloha Power Equipment's Honda EU 2200 Memorial Week Generator Sale. Get your Honda EU 2200 generator. It's $10.99, plus a free two-year warranty. It's worth $250. And that's less than the big box stores. Just in case you were wondering, you can always go check them out, but you'll come back. That's right, to Aloha Power Equipment, because you want them, and we got them. So get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday at Evile. In Evile, next to the Costco gas station in Waipahu. It's on Farrington Highway near Waipahu Depot Street, but it's on the Mackay side of the road. And if you're going Eva bound, you've got to kind of make a U-turn. I wanted to make a left at Waipahu Depot Street to go to Aloha Power Equipment. Then I saw this big fence and I realized, I wouldn't be able to get in the parking lot. Thank you to the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It is the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, for friendship, for family. Go golf everybody get together now. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. You know, they can't find you if you don't have a sign. Have you ever driven down the road and go, I can't find the address, I don't know where I'm going, and there's no sign telling me this is the place I'm supposed to go to? That's happened to me several times. I like those big signs. Aloha Power Equipment. I know where I'm at, you know. That's really easy, and you'll enjoy yourself. All right, thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.